Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at WaveBreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the WaveBreak podcast. My name is Dylan Kelly. I'm the founder and CEO of WaveBreak. And at WaveBreak, we're building the next wave of nine-figure e-commerce brands. How are we doing it? We're building the back-end marketing machine for our clients every single day. What that means is we're helping drive repeat customers for their business so they can scale their ads. So I'm super excited. For this interview today, I'm talking with Ashley Merrill. Ashley Merrill is the founder and CEO at a company called Lunya. She's also recently launched another brand, and she's a few other companies that she works with. But I'm really excited for this one because we talk a lot about like higher level concepts. Like, she's built a really successful brand. They do a lot on e-commerce. They have a few retail stores, but we actually talk about stuff beyond work. It's a really cool episode. I just kind of let the conversation go. We just had a really good conversation about just, you know, the state of things, but without diving too deep into it, and more about just like the evolution of humans in general, and how, you know, as workaholics, we sometimes work so much that we forget to take time off. And when we take time off and we actually escape work, that's when we have our best ideas. And that's when we make the most progress. So we talk about that. We talk a lot about vision and just like these high level concepts that you need to be successful. And we also make it tactical too, and make it actionable. And I hope this gets your mind thinking, just because there's so much opportunity out there. And I'm more excited for 2020 than ever before. And one of my favorite things, actually, I'm not going to spoil it, but Ashley said something. It's one of my favorite things that I've heard. I call it out on the show. Got me super excited. But anyway, really excited for this one. This is Ashley Merrill. She is the founder and CEO of Lunya. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ashley.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk. Like I was saying before we hopped on, you know, love the business you built, love the space that you're in. For the people who don't know, can you tell us a little bit about Lunya and what you guys sell and what you're all about?
Sure. Yeah. So Lunya is what we say, we make sleepwear for the modern woman, which in our mind is the clothes you wear, really wear at home, around the home, to run an errand, that kind of thing. We also have Logo, which is our men's sleepwear line, and that launched just recently, actually last October. But what we're trying to do is reinvent what that clothing category looks like. Typically, what people wear around the house is some old clothing item that maybe they've kept in some deep drawer since their college days. And what we feel like is, hey, with the world transitioning where you can do so many things from the comfort of your home, you know, it actually really pays off to put some thought into how you show up into that space. It's often the space where you have like your most intimate relationships, you know, your kids, your spouse, your, you know, you have a dinner party, these kinds of things, like all of those really great relationships happen in that moment. And then, you know, really it's the space of sort of wellness and rejuvenation, right? It's the space where you get your sleep, you chill out, you read your book, whatever you're going to do. This is sort of the time of day that all those things happen. And so we actually take our clothing further than just, oh, is it comfortable and like attractive, but also is it highly functional for the way you're going to use it? And I think that's really an area that we're very different, I think, than a lot of other companies, in that we're thinking, how do we make fibers and styles that really perform for how people live at home?
Yeah, that's awesome. What's your background? How'd you get into this?
You know what's so funny? I, of course, have no background in clothing. Well, at this point right. now, I've been doing this for like, gosh, 2012. So about 8 years.
Wow, so congrats. Now, that's awesome.
Thank you. It's one of those things where you look up and you're like, oh my gosh, it's been so long, but it doesn't feel like that.
I know. 2016 feels like it was like yesterday.
Isn't that crazy? I know. So basically my background is I'm more of a business background. So I worked in online media and I worked in venture actually straight out of school. So none of those things, you know, I mean, I think for me, why I ended up doing Lunia was I could relate to it from a customer perspective. You know, at the end of the day, I was that person wearing my husband's boxer briefs and his big old frat shirt and just realized at a certain point that I was wearing those things because of lack of really good alternatives. And I wanted to be comfortable. And so I thought, what if I created something that really solved those problems? And as I became more knowledgeable in clothing, realized that, oh, wow, the bar's even higher than that. I could go beyond just going something that's, you know, I get to feel confident and comfortable in, but then something that actually functions incredibly well that, you know, helps cool me off if I'm, you know, a hot sleeper, or that has straps that don't twist and fall off, or gives me support or coverage or doesn't ride up, you know, the possibilities for improvement and optimization around this home experience just became limitless. And so that's really how we've evolved.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so you have a background in you said venture capital?
I did a year in venture, and then I moved to an online media company that was doing M&A for online properties. I mean, this was quite a few years ago. So yeah.
Did you raise money for Lunia?
So actually, we were able to self-fund. Nice. And so it's you know, that's basically how it is.
No, yeah, that's awesome. Did you get any perspectives, like, so you come from a venture background, was there a reason, like, because like at the time you started Lunia, I mean, that's still kind of early in the D2C space as we know it now.
Oh, yeah.
What was it looking like around then? Like, were funds investing in these types of companies? Is there a reason that you decided to bootstrap? Like,
sure.
What were you thinking going into it?
Well, you know, I think there was a lot of things. So one of them was, it was around the early Warby Parker days. So there was the beginning awareness of DTC, but it wasn't like it is now where every day, well, you know, certainly in the last 3 to 5 years where it was like every day there was a new modern millennial brand.
Right.
It was definitely the anomaly to be online first. And people really, really questioned me on that. Are you sure you're not going to try to go into Nordstrom? You're not going to, you know, you're not going to do any wholesale. And, you know, so for me, what's interesting, and I think this is one of those things where you have to understand, and it helped because I was very much my own customer. You have to understand your audience really well and the product you're making and the problems you're solving. And in my case, you know, I just kept thinking, if I put it in Nordstrom, it's going to go next to like the $29 penguin pajamas. How am I going to explain? Right. Because I won't have any opportunity to explain that, you know, at this time I think it was spending like $22 a yard on silk just for the fabric. So I was like, how am I going to explain that there's a reason that these cost more and that these are so like, you know, highly functional in their designs and that this is a product very unlike that sort of holiday flannel set that you're still wearing every night. You know, how do I tell that narrative and explain the value proposition here in that environment? And so in many ways, I was sort of forced into the digital environment because I knew I needed to be able to explain what I was doing that was so different. And I had to create an audience. There was a lot of people that actually looked like me, which was these people that thought that they were, you know, they didn't even have this on their radar. You know, they weren't necessarily pajama buying folks. They were people that were wearing old, you know, sort of these old clothes. And so I needed to be able to have a direct line with them to talk about why would you even consider, you know, upping your game here? And so there just was so much storytelling that I needed to be able to have that I really realized that I was going to be for, you know, digital was going to make sense for me. So it was, I was definitely the, like one of the rare people at that days that was taking that digital only approach. And then in terms of money raising, you know, I think I started out not that I wasn't confident, but like every entrepreneur, I think you might have a really strong vision and what you think is a really great idea. But in some ways, the confidence is built over time. You know, it's like I needed to get something out and see that, okay, you know, in addition to me and my circle of peers and friends that I had asked, is there enough of a market for this? And so, you know, I started out conservative. You know, I was working from home, not in the way I'm working from home today, but I was working from home. You know, and I had an employee, and the two of us both basically were Jill of all trades, trying to figure out how to build something like this. And I just wanted to keep the cost really low, frankly, because I was like, will other people see the value here? And I couldn't for sure answer that question. But I think like any good business idea, if you're really doing something different, you actually can't always answer that question because, you know, I wasn't going into athletic wear, which was a booming space where there was lots of new brands entering there, which you knew that there was a demand there. I was going into an area that I wasn't sure that there was a demand. So for me, I had to build demand and make sure that, you know, because I had a storytell of like, why was, you know, what's wrong with the 5K, the shirt I'm wearing from that 5K right. that I did 10 years ago.
With like the holes in it.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, what's wrong with that? And well, it's like, well, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you are going to be spending so much time at home, and you know, one of the things that I was finding, and particularly as I became a new mother, but was that like, if I'm going to spend over 50% of my life at home, it's sort of that question of like, how do I want to show up for that? Like, that's the time I'm actually with the people that I care about most. And yet somehow I was able to justify spending, let's say, $250 on a cocktail dress that I'm going to wear like a very small handful of times around people that, you know, maybe I don't even really know that well. And yet for those moments that are actually the meaningful moments in my life, I'm kind of not really showing up. Like, how was I going to have that conversation? How were people going to react to that conversation? I didn't know that. So for me, started very, very small. And then over time, moved away from sort of bootstrapping and was able to be much more like to invest more money. At a certain point, I was no longer bootstrapping that anymore, and I think that was. But it took me years before I became in that mentality. I mean, in the early years, I spent very little money. We put a website up for like $12,000, you know, and it was like me and a part-time other person for a long time. And it just, I kind of like let the business have its own organic growth. And then really it was until much more recently when I was spending more aggressively.
Yeah, that's awesome. And thanks for diving into that. You know, it's crazy to think that like, you know, in the beginning you were just paving the way for the space and now the business has grown to, I mean, the point where it is today, which is just awesome. What type of, like, so you did end up raising some money?
No, internal funding. I just, I have a sort of unique circumstance where I've been able to self-fund it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You said so many great things I want to unpack. So first things first, like, one thing you mentioned is like, well, I guess your brand is really premium. And to just come out of the gate as a new brand and say, hey, we're premium, That's hard to do, especially when you're kind of defining a new space. Like, what were some of the ways that, you know, you came out and like, because you really built a great, you know, premium luxury brand. Like, what are some of the ways that you were able to do that?
You know, I think it's interesting because I think sometimes premium is where people are, you know, it's like, oh, you pick a good logo and suddenly it's premium. For us, you know, I mentioned earlier, like just how much I'm spending on the fabric and the quality of what we're making is really, really high. I think there's no substitute for organic growth in a lot of ways where like, you know, we've had tremendous growth and we do invest in it with marketing, but quality is really what defines you as premium in a lot of ways. Like I can't, if I have to acquire every user, if I don't have a repeat purchase and I don't have referral markets, then I actually don't have a business. So to me, it's almost like initially you lead with, you know, a premium looking brand, which gives people confidence in the brand. But over the long term, it has to, like the substance has to be there, you know, the quality and the product has to be there. Referrals have to be there. The repeat purchases. And those are really, to me, that indication that you've built a quality luxury brand. And that means that the product is living up to you know, the expectations of what people have when they're purchasing it.
Yeah, for sure. I love what you said, because at Wavebreak, my company, we run email for e-commerce brands. And the biggest thing you said is like, if I don't have any repeat, I don't have a business. And it's so true because we can see this with, speaking of, you know, the Warby Parker D2C IPO craze that's going on lately. I mean, you look at these companies, what was the Medium article that just kind of made its rounds, you know, talking about Away Travel and Casper, how it's like they built off the back of acquisition in one product. And now, I mean, it's like they're all struggling to, you know, stay afloat even. They're not even profitable.
Well, it's tricky because, I mean, I think you have to look at it that way. I mean, to some degree, how many times do I need to buy a mattress? Like if it's a good mattress, not very long. I think they say something like 7 years, but I'm like, well, like, don't judge me, but I've had my mask like far longer than that. You know, it's like, I think, and I look at that and I'm like, right. I think that's a good sign. That means they made a good, there's a good mattress there, but yeah, it's a problem from a business standpoint where you need to continue to be able to, have like an ongoing relationship with customers.
Yeah, for sure. And that sounds like it's something that you've done from day one.
Yeah, I think it's, well, my theory on it was, and then this is where it's so lucky that I create a product that I'm also a customer for. And I think, you know, I admire people a lot where that's not the case, because I always think, how would I know what to do?
No, I'm, right.
It's so hard. I'd be like guessing like what people like. But from my standpoint is just, I realized that over time, I actually had no section in my closet for the clothes I wear around the house. Now, well, luckily I have a little bit of like license to wear Lunia all the time because of my particular circumstance.
Right.
But you know, my comfortable clothes, my Lunia clothes really dominate my wardrobe. And it's more like the anomaly that I dress up and do some of these other things. And I feel super comfortable. And I also feel like I look good. I haven't sacrificed this like style for it, you know? And so I just think there's something so interesting about that. And I just feel like, like I said, I mean, I think it was easy early on because I understood what the customer was looking for because I could relate so personal to her.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it's great too, because it's like, now it's like, it's so funny you say that, how it's like, now I think about how rarely I dress up. It's the same with me. I don't know if it's just me personally, but I feel like there's this trend in general where it's just like comfort over everything. Like I'm wearing the pants I picked out today. I'm like, oh, I'm wearing my comfy pants.
Totally.
Like the most comfortable pants possible. So
you mean those are Lago? Our best friend?
I need to get some.
No,
they're not. They're probably a competitor, and I'm not going to say it, but they are really comfy.
Yes, totally.
At least I'm wearing pants. Everyone's working from home nowadays. That's my first question to everybody. Are you wearing pants?
Well, the thing is, you'd never know, right? It's like, for me, I'm going, all I really have to do is change my shirt every day. Nobody else is looking. It's fine.
I know. I saw a tweet the other day, or today. It was like, who else is wearing the same thing as yesterday? And I was like,
yes.
Oh, that's me.
Right. There's like, I have so much like less motivation for, you know, it's literally just for my Zoom calls. So yeah.
Top half. You got to do what you got to do.
Top half.
That's great. And speaking of this, like you're so passionate about the product in the marketplace, which I think is great. You know, I've talked to over 100 people on this podcast, you know, running, you know, really successful operations. And that's the number one thing that these people have in common with each other is like, they just love what they do. And they get so excited about it that it's almost like, I mean, it's not weird, but like, you know, they start talking faster and you can just feel it in their voice that they get excited.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break to talk about screwing up. Listen, accidents happen. Maybe you installed an app in your Shopify store and it messed up your theme, or a CSV import wrecked your product catalog. And there's this common myth that when things go wrong, Shopify can just help you and they have this magic undo button that they can apply to your account and fix everything. But that's not true. Shopify can't do that. So what do you do? Well, you need to use Rewind to protect your store with automatic backups. It's like having your very own magic undo button. And best of all, if you sign up at rewind.io and respond to any of their welcome emails, because they're a sponsor of the podcast, all you got to do is mention the Wavebreak podcast and they'll get you your first month for free. So go check Rewind out at rewind.io. You talked about vision earlier. Like, what is your vision for Lunia? Like, and I guess, like, over the last 10 years, too, if you give us some perspective on kind of like where you're at now and where you've been able to grow the business, you know, in whatever way comfortable you're willing to share that, you know, no pressure at all. And then, like, you know, what is your vision for where the company is going?
So, I mean, look, I think where it started with, which I mentioned, was very much sleep oriented, was very much about how do I have something that can help me sleep much more comfortably. And where it's gone is just, I mean, I think we've evolved with the world around us. I mean, I rarely go on dates out of the home with my husband. Like, our dream date is we get Sugarfish and watch, you know, Netflix comedy. That's like all, when I go, okay, we could go into a restaurant and I could sit in a hard chair and like talk over these people around me and like do the whole thing. Or I could just like go home after a long day of work and watch, you know, it's like that wins almost every time, you know? And so I think that that behavior, that's more recent. And so, you know, when we look at what's possible now, you know, early on, it was very much like, how do I make sure that your sleeping experience is the best ever? And now I'm like, you know, who are you when no one's looking? It's like,
yeah,
it's this opportunity to define, like, look, we live these Instagram lives in so many ways, but it's like easy to lose sight of that, right? And in a weird way, especially in this coronavirus moment in time, we're almost being forced to ask ourselves that question because, you know, we don't have the sort of trappings of our external persona. And so I think there's just so much conversation to be had. And I think Lunia can be a really cool conduit for some of that conversation. But in helping you kind of define how you show up as like your raw core person. And, you know, our focus is on feeling comfortable and confident in our products with both Lunia and Lago. And, you know, to me, it's like your product shouldn't get in the way of anything you do. It should make you feel like your best self. And then what, and I think that once you kind of create a product like that, there's far less limits on it. It's not like it's the old piped pajama set, which like you might not wear except if you're like in high fashion, but you're probably not going to wear in and out of the home. You know, when you create something that is defined by being comfortable and making you feel great, the boundaries on that are much more limitless. And I think that for us, it's been really exciting because we're able to have this other conversation, which is the like, who are you outside of work? Who, you know, like what's your more intimate self, you know, who's the raw person that you are. And that actually was one of the reasons I started this other company called The Deep. And it's on Instagram, thedeep.life. And it was sort of going like, what are the conversations that you have in these intimate moments? How do you figure out who you really are? And so it's actually this kind of neat interactive, community where you explore like really thought provoking questions and see how other people respond. But it's really just because it sent me on this journey Lunia has to trying to figure out that underlying self, right? The like the deep core version of myself. Who is the person? Because in some ways, like that's the person you're stuck with, right? Like,
yeah.
I might change jobs. I might, you know, maybe when you're young, you're like, this is going to sound so sad. But it's like, you know, your skin's tight, you're beautiful, you're, you know, you're whatever, you're strong or whatever you're all, but who am I going to be when can I be 75 and still feel just as vibrant and confident in myself? And I think like the way I'm going to feel good about that, or the way I feel good when I change jobs or lose my jobs or whatever, it's like, I got to be good with who I am in my raw state.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And I love that we're going to a place like that too, where it's like, you don't have to be your stiff self anymore. And you don't have to like, you know, shout out to Mark Zuckerberg or whoever started making the transition, wearing a t-shirt into the office and actually being comfortable and not just like being choked by a tie. And don't get me wrong, I like dressing up every once in a while. But,
right, it's still great. Yeah, it's got its moments.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I think it's more of a like,
it's like 80-20 rule. Moment. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Because 80% of the time, I mean, even like, you know, the majority of our life, we're even asleep.
Yes.
Let alone like the time that like work is just a fraction of our life. And I think especially like in America too, you know, kind of like the light in all this that's going on right now is like we work so much that we kind of forget that there's anything else. And
I think that's actually the point here, which is like we've almost let it take over our lives, you know. I think and that's for me one of those kind of big thoughts as I'm this is going to sound like I'm going down the rabbit hole, but, you know, as people talk, they project forward what happens when, you know, there's AI takes our jobs, or, you know, they kind of start to think about this future scary world where, and I look at it and go, it's a world of unknown, right? This future, but it's a world where there's an opportunity to do something different with our time. Like right now, our life is often defined by the work that we do, the way that we get paid. And while I think that can be wonderful, I also think it's almost like we have an opportunity for a new renaissance. Like, if we looked at that time, that is our time outside of work, as also something that could be much more defining for us, it could be so liberating and so exciting. And I think we should lean in more there. I think we've leaned so heavy into career that, you know, it means that it makes the future scary if there's any change in the job market. And I think that there's more to life.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree. And I think it's funny too. It's like we have these spurts of like, you know, we're kind of workaholics by nature as entrepreneurs, but then we get these spurts of where it's like, you know, someone convinces us to take a vacation or we take a break and we go outside or something. It's like, that's kind of when everything actually starts to click. Like it's not when your best ideas don't come when you're sitting in front of an empty text file or or somewhere. Like they come when you're out living life and, or just, you know, not living life and slowing down.
Slowing down. Yeah, I think so too.
That's awesome. And speaking of that, like to tie this all together, and I love how you talk about the future with opportunity, because so many people, it's like, you know, they're freaking out, but at the end of the day, like we don't know what's going to happen. We just take it day by day and get excited about, because there is going to be opportunity and like everything that's going on in the world now, it's like someday we're going to look back and be like, haha, remember that? That's so funny.
It's so funny. I think about that all the time. I mean, even within my own life, right? Cell phones didn't exist when I was born. Computers didn't exist. Like, that's wild. Like, think how much our life is dominated by the computer, the internet, and like none of that was here.
I know. And think about your memories too. They're not what you saw on your phone or your computer or the internet. It's like those times that you weren't on them.
Oh yeah, totally. Right.
And we're not making enough of those.
That's a great point. Yeah. Like if I keep scrolling Instagram, it's not like that's going to be a meaningful moment in my life. The time I saw this girl's picture who I, you know, randomly follow.
I know. Or like watch that video. It's like, yeah, it's hilarious. But like I was scrolling through my, like my likes on Vimeo the other day, cause I used to be big into like watching short films over there. And I remember looking at the thumbnails and I'm like, man, I don't even remember watching these. Like, not that it's bad, but I was like, man, I wasted so much time on this site. Like, I could have been out, like, I was watching people live their lives instead of, like, actually living mine.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to do lately is, like, be more present and think about, like, okay, like, you know, like, think of the future, but not as in, like, ooh, what's bad, what could go wrong, and think of, like, if I'm looking back, like, how am I going to wish I spent this time? Like, am I going to be afraid, or am I going to be, like, oh, I wish I spent time with my friends and my family and, you know, made some memories and thought of it, like, oh, yeah, like, that was so fun, or whatever, saw opportunity, you know, because it's, like we were talking earlier, like, I mean, 2010 feels like it was yesterday. And it's 2020.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I think you're so right. Yeah.
And we're starting to wrap up here, but before we sign off, like, what are you most excited about when it comes to Luna? You're launching this men's line. Like, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. Like, what are you most excited about right now?
You know, it's funny. I think a lot of the things that we just mentioned are honestly the things that have got me really fired up. It's really the movement perspective of it, which is like, I'm tired of feeling like, you know, the rat on the treadmill. Like I think this idea of getting off, of living life, you know, of prioritizing comfort. Like, I love that I don't wear heels that often. I like wearing them. It's like a moment, but my whole closet, even my cutest dresses, I wear with tennis shoes now. Thanks to this, whatever the fashion movement of comfort is right now. But I look at that and I think, like, that's such a cool, like, for all the things that we look at with humanity where it's easy to be critical. I'm like, I like this idea that we're moving towards comfort. Because I like what it says about us, you know? And I think it says something that's more, like, less superficial. Like, it's, you know, we're actually, you know, it's how we feel. And I think, like, for me, as you know, literally we just said it earlier, but I think this idea of being more intentional with the time that we have, you know, our moment here on this earth is, it's a blip. you know? And it's like, how do you want to use those moments? Do you want to show up in that like old shirt with the hole around your kids every day? Like maybe you do, but you know, I think the way, like for me, when I, it's, they say like what dress for the job you want, but you know, when you put on, when, you know, like when you dress for the moment, like if I put something on that makes me feel confident and comfortable, that's how I show up for my family.
Yeah.
And that's how I show up for myself. And so to me, I like the idea that we can have more of those conversations and worry a little bit less about our perfect Instagram life and just get into living, you know? And I think that in any way that I can help be part of a conversation that moves us away from all of the focus being on career and on how fast we're running and give more space for those slow moments, I feel like that's enough for me. That feels fabulous.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what I've loved that you've done with Lunya is that like it doesn't like comfortable doesn't have to be ugly. Like it used to be
exactly.
Like you had to kind of like pick. It's like you had to look good and you're all stiff or you're comfortable. But what's cool about, you know, the stuff you're doing is that it's both. And I think it's huge and I think it's a great space to be in, especially with how just like the world is shifting. And speaking of that, like where can we go to learn more about Lunya and what's the men's brand called? Lago?
Lago. Yeah. So Lunya is LUNYA.co. So definitely check us out on Instagram, which is just Lunya or Lunya.co. And then for Lago, it's LAHGO.co, Lago. And it's also Lago on Instagram. So that's a great way. And if you're looking for some entertainment, I know a lot of us are cooped indoors right now and you want to keep your brain fresh, I would say definitely check out the deep.life on Instagram. It's super fun, great way for, you know, to engage with others on topics and questions that, you know, are definitely outside the day-to-day.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've got our staying inside and staying comfortable insane starter pack here with Lunya, Lago, and the deep.life. Perfect timing on this one. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great one.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. So let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store. And they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge, and it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible. And we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.